This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And today we're talking about a great book, an amazing book. I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, David Baldacci. Hi.
Hello.
Wow. You know, David, what you have done with this new book, which is called, of course, No Man's Land, this first chapter in this book is amazing. I have often, writers always ask me, well, you know, can you recommend a book and the beginning of a book, how to start a book? And I've sent them to read Zero Day, because I think that's one of the best opening chapters in a suspense book. And then I read this one. This first chapter is so taut, so filled with suspense. It's so gripping. I just love it. I read it three times. I read the first chapter three times.
I spent a lot of time on the first chapter because really I like to hit the ground running, but the first chapter is your one chance for a first impression with a reader. And I want readers to know that they're in for a lot of action, a lot of unpredictability, a lot of twists and turns, but I want them to know that every word counts, and it's going to be a tight but a wild ride.
It is, and as I said, you know, in Zero Day, where you started with the postman, and that was...
Poor postman.
Oh, I know. I love that one. And so I've always said to people, you know, you read the first page, and if you read that whole first chapter, and you're gripped. And well, in this one, I'm like, oh, wow. Of course, this is a fantastic, it's the fourth in your series about a wonderful character that you've developed. And he's really become a beloved character now. I think that, you know, the John Pooler series is just fantastic.
Well, he's, you know, he's an interesting guy. I wanted to write about a military character for a long time. My dad was in the military, my uncles, I have a lot of friends in the D.C. area. We have a big military footprint up here. And so I spent a lot of time immersing myself in that world, went to military bases, trained with some Rangers in Fort Benning, did a lot of stuff that they do, asked a lot of questions, and I just wanted to organically, you know, immerse myself and enrich myself about that world. And now, No Man's Land is the fourth book in this series, John Pooler, and the first chapter that you referenced, you meet a guy named Paul Rogers, who is somebody you would not want to meet, not even in a well-lighted alley. He's just a guy that other prisoners fear. You know, he's getting out of prison for murder. The guards are terrified of him. They're afraid that, you know, whoever he runs into, it's not going to be a happy ending for them. So what I think with this book, you start out with him and you wonder, who is this guy? Is he a good guy? Is he a monster? Would I put him in a box or not? How is this going to play out? So he's going to go across the country on a journey to Virginia where something happened to him 30 years ago and he wants payback. That's the first pillar of the story. The second pillar is John Pooler, my leading character in this series. He's with his dad, who is a three-star retired who has dementia. Pooler is an Army CID investigator. He investigates crimes in the Army. And two guys in the military show up at the hospital and present him with a letter from a woman who's accusing John Pooler's father of murdering his wife, Pooler's mother, 30 years ago at a military base in Virginia. So this takes Pooler into his past to confront a lot of demons and a lot of things he never wanted to face, but he has to in order to clear his father.
Well, it is suspenseful. I tell you, there are lots of twists and turns, but the suspense, it builds up. And as you said, you set that right in the first chapter. And I right away, I realized there's a lot of work that went into that first chapter because I think it shows your short story writing creds that you've learned to really tighten and find just the right words to put that layer of suspense and anticipation for the reader of what what is going to happen. Because we know that it's a Puller book, and we know, are they going to meet, and exactly who's good, who's, you know, and it's exciting.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, that's what I try to do. I try to bring that with every book that I write. I try to make every word count. And I've been doing this a long time. I think I know how to tell a story well. But I tell you, every time I sit down with a blank page and a new story, I'm a little bit fearful that I can't bring the magic again. So I work very hard to do it every time.
Well, you know, I had to actually, when I read your first book, I checked because I thought you were in the military. Seems so accurate. It seems so so perfect. Your understanding of the military mind, the military procedures, that I thought you had been in the military, but of course you hadn't. You're a lawyer.
Right. No, that's a great compliment. What I try to do is, again, I wanted to be able to know enough about the military so that all the information wouldn't come out like I'm writing a story and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this is the military. Let me throw in a little figure here, a little fact there, and then keep going, then throw in something else. I want it to organically develop through the characters. You know, John Puller might reveal something about the military just from a line of dialogue or his thought process as he's getting ready to investigate something, the procedures he goes through. So it seems very organic and very natural. Doesn't interrupt the flow of the story. And the only way you do that is to do what I did, is just immerse yourself in that world. So even though you never wore the uniform, you know a lot about the people who do. It allows you to write a story about it in a very authentic way.
And you have captured that. I mean, to the point that, you know, it's one would meet you and one almost wants to salute because we feel you deserve it. And I do a lot of work with Air Force people. I'm doing a project called the Forgotten F-105 Warriors, which honors mm-hmm. the F-105 pilots in Operation Rolling Thunder and their ground crews. And so having, you know, spent a lot of time around military people, and my husband was also a fighter pilot, I'm used to the military. And when you capture that voice, when you get that voice right, it is really great. As you said, often writers will throw in military stuff like that. You know, oh, I need a little bit of military stuff. But
right.
you have sort of walked the walk and you talk the talk. So
Well, just that means a lot to me. I really appreciate that comment. Obviously, you know a lot about that world, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you faked me out. So, you know, after the first book, I'm ready to salute you, and really the character John Puller and his father and his brother are so multidimensional. You have created, you know, so often in these kind of thrillers. There's a superficial, there's action, and there's, you know, maybe a little love interest and a little, you know, but you've really rounded out the story. And, I think that's something that, you know, readers really appreciate in your work.
I spend a lot of time with the characters. It's my only opportunity to connect on a human level with a reader. The plot is the plot, but I think what keeps people coming back reading a series is whether they care about the characters or not. And in order to do that, you have to humanize them. You have to deepen them. You have to show their flaws and their warts, how they fall down and they have to get back up. And a guy like Puller, he would be easy to caricature and say he's this big, strong, you know, tough investigator and nothing ever goes wrong and he always wins every battle. But after a while, that gets pretty boring, too. So I really wanted to show the emotional side, how he was really racked with a lot of guilt and doubt during the course of this whole book. But in the end, finally made it through, but not without a lot of scars.
And that does come through, that he is a very real person. And now when we're talking about him, when we talk in a general sense of No Man's Land, there is this element of sometimes some people might think it's almost unbelievable, the premise of the story. But,
right.
And, you know, and we're used to sort of conspiracies and things, but boy, you really have done a great job on this.
Yeah, I know. I know when in the elements of the plot too. Some people might look at it and go, "Wow, you know, a good thing we don't actually do that." I'm like, "Well, we actually do that."
Yeah. Well, that was my second thing after I discovered that you were not in the military. I said, "Okay, well, then this guy has been in the CIA, something," because, again, you have captured a world Very, very well.
Yeah, it's well, when you have, you know, the stakes are high, you have a lot of money that you can throw at it, a lot of very talented people working on stuff like that. And as a former lawyer, too, you know, I had to deal with issues like this all the time in different arenas. But when technology and human beings clash, and what are the ethical parameters? How far do you go in order to achieve a goal that most people would look at and say, yeah, okay, that's a good goal to have, but how far do you manipulate human beings in order to get to that goal? It's a fascinating ethical question. Really, I lay it out front and center in this book.
With this character, Paul Rogers, and...
With Paul Rogers, yes.
Wow. He went through a lot.
Yeah, he really did. It was interesting. Years ago, I wrote a book in the intelligence field, and I asked a friend of mine who works in that field to read a chapter because I thought, you know, I just pushed the envelope too far. I think this is not plausible. And why don't you read it and you tell me if I need to pull back? And he said, no, go ahead and just publish it. I don't need to read it. And I said, no, just go ahead and read it and let me see if I've gone too far. He said, I don't have to read it. And finally, I said, why don't you have to read it? He said, because if you've imagined it, we've already done it.
You make the implausible plausible, that's for sure. You know, and that is one of the joys of this book, of really getting in there and not being able to put it down, because you really, really know how to write suspense. But of course, you know how to write so many things. And you know, I want to mention, because I don't have much time with you, but you know, you are an amazing talent, and well, you've written so much, can't even go there, you know. But I want to talk a little bit about one of the loves of your life, and this is your joy in, because my program is Joy on Paper, and of course, you are a reader like I am, and you love to read. And I love the project that you and your wife have put together to promote reading. So I don't want to let you off here until you tell us a little bit about this project that you and your wife and, well, your whole family now, I'm sure, is involved in.
We started the Wish You Well Foundation about 15 years ago, and we fund literacy programs and initiatives across the country, and have poured millions of dollars into it, and have helped millions of people learn how to read or read at a higher level. We get about 5,000 grant applications every year from organizations around the country, both public and private. We fund as many as we can. We also have a book collection effort. We partner with Feeding America, which runs all the nation's food banks. So when I go on my book tours, they send along a big white box. My fans bring in new and gently used books of all types. Once a box is full, we pay to have it shipped to local area food banks. So you know, people going in seeking food assistance often have low literacy skills, may not have any books in their home. They can bring food home, which they need to survive, but they can bring books home for themselves and for their kids, which really can change their lives. So over the last 6 years since we've had that program going, it's called Feeding Body and Mind, we've shipped almost 2 million books to homes around the country, and we'll continue to do so.
Well, I think it's a fantastic program, and of course, being a lover of books, I'm so appreciative of it, and I will make sure I was thinking maybe you or your wife would like to come on and do a little promo, and I will run it on my program for you guys.
Oh, excellent. That's great.
Okay. So I will contact your publicist. I know we have a hard break coming up because you are very, very busy promoting this fantastic book. But, you know, I named Clive Cussler the king of the prologue, and I'm going to officially name you king of the first chapter, because...
I will gratefully accept that. Thank you.
Because you are absolutely fantastic, and it's just been a joy to talk to you. And as I said, I will contact your publicist, and I would be happy to run a promo for your program of sending books out to as many people as possible, because there is nothing as much fun as reading, except perhaps writing. And you found that joy, too. So I just want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Great. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Okay. Bye, David.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, David Baldacci. Wow. What can you say? Fantastic. Anyway, I just want to mention again that No Man's Land just came out. It's a bestseller already. I mean, do you realize that he is a global bestseller? A global bestseller. I've had people on who have immediate bestsellers, and I had a lot of New York Times bestsellers and America bestsellers, USA of America bestsellers, but David Baldacci is a global bestseller. And I think everyone will really enjoy this book. You know, so many of his books are just fantastic. If you've read Absolute Power, which was his very first novel and turned into an actually great motion picture with Clint Eastwood as the star and the director, and it's always on television. So when you see that, you can know that David did that one. And just have a look at his books, and you will not go wrong. So I'm really happy about having a few minutes with him, and I will get him back on again. So meanwhile, I was going to mention his books have been translated into 45 languages. Can you imagine that? Wow. All over the world, people are reading his books. Now, I'm going to take a little break, and then I'm going to come back with absolutely fantastic local writer. And this is going to be fun because I love her book. And most importantly, my sister loves her book. And my sister is a connoisseur of mysteries. So I'm so happy that Rita Moreau is here in the studio with me. And she's going to be coming in a few minutes, and we'll be talking to her. Bye. Hold on.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Looking for a good book? Then get over to Miami Avenue Book Nook in Indian Rocks Beach. Check out the latest books from local authors like Angela Hunt, who wrote the book for the film Risen, or Bonsu Brenvick, whose books preserve the memories of the Bellevue Biltmore Hotel. What do you enjoy reading? A thriller? A romance? How about a mystery or a sci-fi? At the Book Nook, you'll find it all. Remember, one of the joys of life is to read. Located in Indian Rocks Beach, look for the blue building with the mermaid on the side. On the corner of Miami Avenue and 2nd Street, two blocks south of the post office. Open Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, noon to 4. And don't forget, while you're there, check out Miami Avenue's great collection of Florida wines, local art, and fantastic gifts. Miami Avenue Book Nook, where you will be inspired to read.
Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with a fantastic local author who is, I can't even begin to say how impressed I was when I first read her first book, and now she's just come out with her third book in the series, and it's called Feisty Nuns, and I love the name of her books. The first book was called Bribing Saint Anthony. Okay, that was intriguing. And then her second book, I love this name, Nuns, Psychics, and Gypsies. Oh, no. As a matter of fact, I told Carolyn Hart, the mystery writer of America, I told her about that title, and she loves that title.
Oh, Patsy, that is so cool, and I am excited to be here. In fact, I'm humbled because so many of the authors you speak to live in my Kindle, so I am just besides myself.
Oh, well, you know, you're going to live in a lot of people's Kindle, too, because you are just developing as a fantastic writer.
Thank you.
Now, you know, when Carolyn Hart was on, she objected to my term cozy mystery. Well, it wasn't my term. This came out, as she mentioned, at one point it was called a derogatory term. But in fact, I think over time it has lost that aspect of it, because a cozy mystery is just a mystery that you can sit down with, enjoy. Often it'll put a smile on your face, and in this case, definitely a smile on your face, and just enjoy yourself. And my sister Natalie is a connoisseur of cozy mysteries. She loves them. She reads them all the time. She goes through. If I read a lot, she reads even more. And so when she read this Feisty Nuns, she hadn't read the other two, but she read Feisty Nuns and she said, "Oh my goodness, you have a treasure here. You found a really great author." So let's talk about your character and about, we'll talk about Feisty Nuns, but you can also talk about the other ones because, you know, this came to you, you started writing after you retired?
I did. I started writing after I retired, and I will tell you, years and years and years ago, I took out a little thing. We all remember Parade magazine. So there was this thing about getting your handwriting analyzed. So I did, and it came back, well, you're a worker bee. You like to keep busy. So I retired. And we wait all of our lives to retire. I mean, that's what we work all of our lives toward. I retired, and I'm like, okay, what am I going to do now? Well, I'm going to do something I've always wanted to do. So I sat down and started writing. And before I get further, I want to thank your sister, Natalie. I've never met her, but thank you, Natalie.
Well, she can spot talent, and she spotted it in you. So you retired. And you started writing, and you came out with this lovely character, Mary Catherine Mahoney.
Yes.
I love it. And we call it MC for short.
Yes.
And let's talk about this MC. Who is she? And well, I can tell you, she's lots of fun.
Well, you know, I have had some of my readers ask me if my books are autobiographical.
Yeah, that word.
And like, did you really get fired from the IRS? And I'm like, well, no. I mean, she just came. I would say there's a lot of her that's in me too. I mean, you've got to start writing somewhere. And I've taken, you know, so many writing classes, like those of us who aspire to be writers. And they usually say, well, just sit down, start writing about something you know about. So Mary Catherine is kind of like somebody I know.
And nobody would expect an IRS agent to be so fascinating. So we normally have bad words to say about IRS.
I know, and usually I don't tell people this thing. You know, we used to go to social events, and I'm like, who do you work for? And I'm like,
Yeah. Okay, well, thinking about that, Mary Catherine Mahoney, MC for short, has retired and has opened her own very specialized type of company. What does she do?
Well, she does taxes, and she has her office in a fictional. I wanted to have my setting in Florida, so she has her office in Boca Vista, which is like a mini West Palm Beach, which is right next door to Fish Camp, which is like a mini Nashville. So there are a lot of what my mother would have called aging socialites living in Boca Vista, going through the change of life. So they come to her to help out with these tax situations.
Especially when their husbands run off with trophy wives.
Yes, yes. And, you know, they're moving on. They're moving on to become cougars, most of them.
And they have to find out where their husbands have hidden their money.
Yes.
And that's where MC comes in handy, because she can figure out where all of these guys have hidden this money.
And that's true. She calls upon her, not only her accounting skills to follow the paper trail, but a skill that she just doesn't want to recognize, a little bit of a psychic skill.
A little paranormal in there, a little intrigue of how she can come up with the idea of where they have been putting this money.
And it just kind of comes to her.
And so people come to her to solve crimes and
to look for things, to look for missing people, to look for all sorts of things.
And, of course, Mary, we have to tell where MC went to school and a little bit about her background, because that's interesting. That's part of the story.
Yes. MC, a lot like myself, grew up in a big Greek family. And the characters in my first book, Bribing St. Anthony, in fact, the title Bribing St. Anthony, I have to say, came from a dear lady who lived to almost to 100, and her name was Kay. She lived in my building, and she told me all about bribing St. Anthony. And bribing St. Anthony is a saint you pray to when you've lost something or you've lost your way. So MC, like myself, grew up in a Greek family. Actually, my mother was a single mother in the 50s, which was unusual. And my grandparents came over to this country from Greece. They lived next door. And so a lot like MC, she grew up in this crazy Greek family.
A big, fun, crazy Greek
yes,
family.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so MC is now well-established. She has a sidekick of sorts, an assistant.
Velma.
Very nicely drawn. I like Velma.
I like Velma, too.
So people come to her, and in Feisty Nuns, who comes to her? Feisty Nuns, boy, oh
yes,
boy.
Yes, yes. Sister Hildegard and Sister Matilda.
And they bring her a problem.
They do bring her a problem. Yes, they do.
And these nuns are so well well written. I don't know. You went to Catholic school?
I did. Yes. I did. Well, I survived grade school, high school, all girls high school, and a little bit of college. So I survived parochial school.
Oh, boy. So she knows the nuns, the nun business, let's put it
yes,
that way. Boy,
yes.
Oh, boy.
Whether she likes it or not, she does.
Are you still in contact with any of you?
Actually, to tell you the truth, just to make a long story short, I don't know if your listeners are familiar with the play Late Night Catechism. It's just a hilarious play, very satirical, about surviving parochial school. So I happened to go to that play last year, and at the end of the play, the main actress went around and collected money for the sisters. And I thought, well, what a great idea. I said, I'm going to do that. So at my launch for Oh No!, actually, Sister Hildegard showed up for the launch. I don't know what happened to myself, the author. And I decided, I was in Cincinnati, which is where I grew up. I went back to, I found out that the Sisters of Notre Dame have a retirement home there. And so I went to visit them. The launch, I used my proceeds to donate to their retirement home. And lo and behold, I found out all this stuff about an audit. The sisters were being audited in real life, and so I have been in contact with them. They're still praying for me.
Well, if their prayers were that you'd write a really great book, their prayers have been answered.
Well, I hope they continue writing.
So, as my sister said, she could see that you were really having fun with this.
I was. I really was. And I guess at the end of the day, I think my mother used to say, dream big. So, you know, we all dream that our books will be successful. Maybe they'll become movies. Who knows? And at the end of the day, when someone tells me, I read your book, and it just made me sit down and laugh. And just recently, someone that I know is going through a really tough time in her life. She said that book kept me up all night and I couldn't stop laughing. So, you know, my job is done. If that is all I accomplish with my writing, then I'm good.
Well, you certainly have captured a character. You know, it's always difficult when you are I don't know. Did you start off thinking that you were going to be writing a series, or were you? It was a one-off, or
you know, I think I just started when I first started writing my first book. I just sat there and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote, and I think I ended up with three books in one. And I was just so these characters. I don't know where they come from, but they kind of take over. And then I was familiar with them, so it went into a second book. Then it went into a third book, but I'm thinking maybe the next book it might be a little different.
Well, I don't know. You can. I think people will not get tired of the adventures of MC and Velma.
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah, and it is fun to be able to really, as you say, you've created a city, a little city, and all the people and characters around there that you've done a great job.
Thank you.
Of course, being in Florida here, it's wonderful. I think this book will appeal to a lot of tourists coming here because it's just fun. It's you add dimension here to this. You throw in a lot of stuff about Florida, I think it just makes it all the more interesting.
Well, it's a hoot writing these books. It really is. It really is.
And so, after you wrote the first book, had you already belonged to like a writing group, or did you join a writing group, or
you know,
are you into that?
I recently joined a writing group with another local author, Bonsu, and up until recently, it was all I can. Writing is very solitary. I also do some other stuff. And it's very hard for a writer to sit down and stay focused and write. I think my first book took me 5 years, which is way too long. The next book, 3 years. Feisty Nuns, a little better, a year. So, but writing groups are a good way to get out there and socialize with other writers.
Well, it is good. You actually have to do that. And Bonsu Brandvik, who you mentioned,
yes,
of course, she has written these fantastic books that feature the Bellevue Biltmore Hotel, which she tried to save.
Yes.
And it's so sad that they tore down, or most of it, and as a matter of fact, it was just on the news this morning. They're moving the main, one of the like big halls, I think was the original lobby, mm-hmm, and they were just moving it today. So anybody who wants to go up to that area, they can watch them actually move it today.
This
is, it was on the news this morning, and they're going to be lifting it from its location and putting it on a new foundation.
Wow.
And it was such an absolutely fantastic.
It was a beautiful
hotel. And it's so nice that she did so much research and really preserved the history of the hotel, not just in her writing, but also in her collection of photos. She has a most marvelous collection of photos of every nook and cranny in that hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just historians are always going to appreciate the work she did. I know that she was very sneaky, and she was she was sneaking into places that nobody was allowed to go in. And
sometimes you have to do that.
But she's the kind of person. Actually, I wouldn't stop her if I saw her walking.
No.
I say, you know, she looks like she can go for it. Exactly. And she snuck into attics, and she snuck into basements, and she preserved all of this, and she took photos. And her books are available. Her most recent book is Ripples, and I know she's working on her third book. Are available at the Miami Avenue Book Nook,
yes,
which is a wonderful place for local authors. And I'm so proud that I'm part of it, promoting and showcasing fantastic local authors. And your books are there.
Yes. And it is so wonderful because local authors like myself, indie authors, once we write a book, it's like, I remember when Bribing St. Anthony arrived on my doorstep and I was like, wow, look at these books. I didn't know there was a whole other big job out there after you write a book. And so I have to also thank the Miami Avenue Book Nook that helps promote local authors,
well,
and you too.
Well, thank you. And of course, Bev Malley has been so kind and so generous, and she's going to be involved in a lot of major publicity for the Book Nook so that we can get the names of everybody out there. Authors like you, like Bonsu, Angela Hunt, of course, is a mm-hmm. local author who wrote the book based on the movie Risen. And one of my very, very favorite authors, Gino Bardi, he had only had a Kindle version of his book, and he just got the paperback version.
Mm-hmm.
And he is wrote The Cow in the Doorway, which is one of my favorite books. It's just so funny. And so just to be able to put all of these authors there and have them come and see their books there, and then we're going to be doing events starting in January, readings and other things to promote authors.
Well, maybe Sister Hildegard will show up. She's actually shown up at my book launches.
Okay. Well, and you do have a book launch coming up.
I do.
Tell us about that.
I have to also thank the Town of Indian Shores Library and library volunteers. They have been so supportive. So it will be at the community room at the Town of Indian Shores, November 29th. And I think Sister Hildegard might show up. She just might show up. So just beware.
Well, that sounds intriguing. And what time is it going to be?
It will be at 6 p.m.
6 p.m. Wow. I think that sounds good.
Yeah.
I think all of my listeners should show up.
I think they should. I think they'll have a good old time.
And now, of course, one of the things, as you mentioned, it is for indie authors having to do what... The book launches are fun, but there's so much that is involved in it, and so much involved in, you know, we just had David Baldacci on, and somebody does it all
the time. I'm humbled that I'm right after Mr. Baldacci.
Well, he is really one of my favorite authors. I love his books. But, of course, as he said, you know, he's written a lot of books. He fine-tuned his talent. He worked hard over the years, getting better and better. And his books, you know, if you read his books and go and look at everything from the beginning, he's improved. I mean, even he improves. In this most recent book, No Man's Land, as I said, that first chapter is really one that can be taught in a writing class. This is an example of it's like three pages. A first chapter, very short, very tight. But in that first chapter, he grabs you. He tells you, you know, he's like telegraphing, this is a major story. This is going to be something that's going to keep you glued to the book. And that's so important to learn.
It is. And I've come a long way. And I what I understand is there are two different types of writers. There are writers who write by the seat of their pants. I think they're called pantsters. And there are writers who are more structured. And I've discovered I am a more structured writer. So I am studying the craft, maybe working on falling back to as they write movies or screenplays, act one, act two, act three. And so it's very, very important in the beginning to grab your reader with that hook, just like a movie. You know, otherwise your reader, they're just not going to finish.
Well, that's one of the things that we're going to be doing at the Miami Avenue Book Nook. I'm going to have some very, very talented people who have worked over the years to develop this knowledge of how to do your arcs in writing. And so we're going to have some classes in that. And this will be for writers.
That'll be awesome.
So that you can really learn to analyze the flow of your book. And then I'm also going to be having some publicists who are going to help tell writers how they can reach more people. And that's our goal, of course, always, especially with indie authors, this having this platform. I know now you've gotten active on Facebook, right?
I am. I am active on Facebook. I try to do everything that I can to get my name out there, my books out there, whatever is out there. I try to build a relationship with my readers, talk at book clubs. Whatever I can do, I'm out there.
Okay. And do you have connections with any of the Catholic schools that you get to speak to, or
just the sisters who are still praying for me, who were my sisters at my all girls high school in Dayton, Ohio. I teach fitness too at a local Catholic church. So those church ladies are very supportive
because it is important that you, as you said, it's it's a hard, I think it's so much harder to sell the book than to write the book.
It is, because you know, I can only speak for myself. Writers are not always salespeople, so it is hard. It is hard, and so, and some may even say we're somewhat introverted. It's hard for us to get out there and kind of brag about what we're doing and sell our books. So we appreciate everybody's support, and I truly do.
And let's get just back to, I want to just remind people again, are all your books available on Amazon?
Yes, I have all my books on Amazon. I just find it simple just to have it on one spot.
Yeah, okay. And Bribing Saint Anthony, which I think, as I said, is a very nice, clever book. Nuns, Psychics, and Gypsies. Oh, no. That is just such a good title. I just love it. I love that title.
Thank you.
I think it's really clever and cute. And Feisty Nuns, and they are certainly feisty in this book.
Yes, they are.
And they, you have some recurring characters that are interesting, and that's part of...
My Greek aunts, Aunt Sophia, Anna.
That's what I wanted to mention.
My fortune-telling aunts.
And so the talent that, you know, MC has, it's not really...
It's almost like an intuition, or wait a minute, I got to listen to this inner voice. Now, her Aunt Sophia and Aunt Anna will tell her that it's a gift that's been passed down through the family. It's her psychic ability, and she needs to, you know, kind of tap into it. But she likes the structured life. She would rather read the black and white balance sheet financial statements, but she grows and she accepts it.
Aha. So it's intriguing. I think it's intriguing. And now, have you submitted any of your books yet to contests?
I have. I submitted it to a contest. I submitted Bribing St. Anthony last year to the, it's the 23rd Writer's Digest contest. And I was thrilled that I got back some very good feedback. They enjoyed the book. And I recently submitted Oh No! So I should hear back, hopefully, within the next month.
Well, it's always wonderful to enter these contests.
Oh, it is.
It's worth it. You never know. You just might hit the right person. And they give you this nice feedback.
Yes.
And you never know if you might win something.
You never know.
And
you know?
It really helps. Again, this is all toward building your platform.
And it's so helpful to get feedback from, you know, the big names in the industry, the professionals, you know. I mean, it's wonderful to get feedback from our readers and nice reviews, and, you know, it touches my heart, but it really helps. It really helps. So contests are a way indie authors can get their name out there.
Well, San Francisco Writers Conference is coming up. It will be up in the taking submissions now, and that is one of the very, very important contests, and it's you can go to the San Francisco Writers Conference online, and all the details are there, and I think it's like $25 or $35, but it's well worth it. Again, you get nice feedback, and if I were you, I'd put Feisty Nuns in there.
Because I will.
If my sister loved it...
If your sister Natalie loves it, I get home today, I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, yeah. Because her immediate reaction was, "Wow, this is the winner."
Well, I'm so humbled. I'm besides myself.
So it's something everybody should look into. You know, the San Francisco Writers Conference, like the Writers Digest Conference, they have a lot of different categories, and so whether you're a poet or a short story or a novel, and in all genres, it's available there, and it's something worth trying.
Awesome.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things I want to tell people, that if you're looking for a good book, you should go down to Miami Avenue Book Nook, and we're going to have, I said, some events there, and it's a perfect place to find books for, we have many writers who not just... have their books there, but they also are books that are centered around Florida. And I know a lot of visitors really enjoy picking up a book that has some local history and local references.
Yes.
And so it's a wonderful place to go. And I hope that anybody who's looking for a good book will go down there. And you are just, I think, so lovely, and I'm so thrilled that you've become part of our
Thank you.
Book Nook family, and that Bev Malley at Miami Avenue has done this for everybody. And she is now sort of running all sorts of special events through now and through Christmas. As you know, she has music
yes.
in the evenings.
Yes.
And it's just
I love to dance.
Oh, mm. Wonderful dance mm-hmm. music. And then I think on Tuesday night she has karaoke. So if you like to sing, yes, you can
well,
do that too.
No.
but
maybe then, after a little ouzo. But
well, you know, why not?
Hey,
you're Greek. Why not? Yeah, a little ouzo. Yeah. Wait, yeah, a little ouzo will do a lot.
Well, it will. It will. You'd be surprised.
So your family must be thrilled.
They are. I think they are. You know.
Do they recognize themselves in some of the characters?
So far they haven't.
No.
So maybe they don't. And maybe that's a good thing.
but you can add more dimension to it and tell more family secrets.
Yes.
That'd be fun.
It's always interesting around the Thanksgiving table then.
And I love Greek stories anyway, and as we all saw in the, Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Wow, I love that movie.
That's a fantastic movie.
Yes,
so it has a flavor to it, and I think that's one of the nice things about your book, that you have this, it's not just an ordinary, you know, America, you have all this.
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything in there.
Yes.
And you've done just a terrific job.
Thank you. Thank you.
I want to thank you so much for coming in today. And it's always fun for me to have an author sort of at the beginning of their career. And I'm sure we'll have, you know, when you, I think David's book, this was like his 60th book or something.
Wow.
So, and I'm.
I better get working.
On Thanksgiving Day, I'm going to be talking to Mary Higgins Clark.
Oh.
And as you can imagine, she's written a few books.
Yes, she has. Yes, she lives in my Kindle, too.
Yes, and it's her 58th mystery. And she is such an amazing woman. And it's going to be her 85th birthday on Christmas.
Wow.
Christmas
wow.
Eve. She was a Christmas Eve baby.
Wow.
And she's still going strong. So that is the wonderful thing writing.
That is the wonderful thing. It's something I intend to do until my last...
Well, 120, let's say.
Yeah. It keeps your brain sharp, too, because as we get older, that's important.
Exactly. And another guest that I'm going to have is James McGee. And he also started writing when he retired. And he didn't want to write novels, and he wasn't sure what he wanted to do. He just wanted to do something with words. And he wrote the series of trivia books.
Oh.
And they are just wonderful because, of course, as you know, trivia is now a very popular thing. People love trivia.
Oh, yes.
And so his books are delightful. But again, that's a sample. He retired and he said, I don't want to waste my mind. So he started doing research into subject after subject. And next thing he knows, he's got a book about Shakespeare. He's got a book about world history. I'm interviewing him also on Thanksgiving, a book about Motown and
cool.
the trivia of who sang what and all of that background.
Very cool.
So this is part of growing older.
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 Bolder. I like to
older
say bolder.
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 Getting bolder and not wasting your time just, you know, moping and
sitting
and
on that rocking chair.
And griping. And exactly. And
stay positive. You know, my mother always looked at the glass. She looked at it half full instead of half empty. And I try to follow in her steps.
Well, that's great. And I think that comes through in your character.
Yes.
You know.
My first book, I think I wrote for my mother in her memory. She always wanted to be a movie star. So who knows? Who knows what might happen in the future?
So it's fun. I think it's fun to read a story about an IRS agent. Who knew that it could be so much fun? And you've done a terrific job.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I just want to thank everybody for joining me today. I highly recommend David Baldacci's book. It's a great read. And last week I had Leigh Bardugo on, and I was just sort of going back and forth with her a little bit. And she's written a wonderful book. And the beautiful thing about Leigh is that she has suffered some physical problems and some illnesses, but she doesn't give up, and she, you know, struggles through her physical problems and just has written some wonderful, wonderful work. So she's another author. As we're heading towards Christmas, I'm going to have in the first week of December, I'm going to have, again, quite a few local authors on, Sue Kochman, and to talk about her recent book, and a list of books and authors that I think people should buy over, you know, in December for giving as Christmas and Hanukkah gifts.
That's the time.
And I think it's just a wonderful, giving a gift of a book, I think it's wonderful.
I think it is.
Because, you know, you buy so much junk and it just disappears and nobody pays any attention to it. But a book can change a person's life.
It can.
If you buy the right book, as you said, somebody is having problems and they're feeling sad, and they read something that puts a smile on their face.
It takes them away.
Or a book that's inspirational. You can do that too. So there are so many wonderful books out there. And for local people, those books are available at Miami Avenue. We have all sorts of books. I love the inspirational books.
Yes.
Books like by Sarah Im, for example, who suffered and went through the killing fields of Laos and all the years that she suffered. But she wrote an inspirational book that celebrates life and celebrates survival. And so all of these books are available there at the Book Nook, and I think it's just a fantastic place for everybody to go. So as I said, Feisty Nuns. It's a beautiful book. Did you do the cover?
My husband, he's just enjoying the role of the author's husband.
Boy, that's nice.
He did the cover. Uh-huh. He did the cover.
Okay.
He does all the computer work, too. I'm technologically challenged. So.
Are you working in Word?
Yes. Yes. I'm trying to. I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you've done a beautiful job.
Thank you.
Very nicely done. The book was very nicely
done. Dad, I have to thank him. He took over from that point, and he's helped me quite a bit.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's just been a joy to have Rita Morrow on today, and she's available at the Book Nook and
Amazon.
And do you have a webpage?
Yes, ritamorrow.com.
That's easy.
Easy.
Okay.
Easy.
Okay, so check it out and read Feisty Nuns, because she's pretty feisty herself. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye for now. And join me next Tuesday. Meanwhile, have a great weekend. Find your joy and share it. Say something nice to somebody today, and I'll say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. I give him so many problems, and he's always so good. I want to really thank Ed for everything. Bye for now. Bye.